Podcast.
The Savior.
Podcast. The Savior has arrived.
In the book, The Atheism Delusion, the Imam Alayhi Salam lays out what the religious people say and what the atheist scientists say. And he says that it appears that the atheist scientists have completely defeated these religious people. And reading what these religious people say becomes nauseating to the people when they see the arguments that they use, that they're so poorly constructed, they're so ignorant. And you have these people that are university professors and scientists and researchers and published authors, that they're running circles around the religious people. And that he gives many different topics that these religious people should be able to confront, such as evolution. Because what could be more fundamental to a religious message than the issue of creation? Where did we all come from? And so we have evolution, and Ahmad al-Hassan alayhi salam goes through a detailed explanation of evolution to show the truth of evolution, the truth that all the scientists know. And he quotes Richard Dawkins quite a bit, and he shows in one quote, it was from a YouTube video from Richard Dawkins, in which he basically said that he loves it when religious people deny evolution. Because if a religious person says that evolution is not true, the scientists can prove evolution. And so they win the argument. As soon as a religious person denies evolution, the atheists have won the argument. Because if you say that evolution is incompatible with your religion, and they can prove evolution, they've just proven your religion false. And so he talks about this and what a fundamentally important question this is. The question of evolution, the question of creation, the question of where life came from, and the absolute absence of a logical, reasoned, evidence-based response or answer from organizations like the Catholic Church. You have the Catholic Church with millions upon millions of Christians. Where's their answer about evolution? A clear-cut, absolute, here's what the Church says about evolution, and more importantly, how is this consistent with your religious doctrine, with your religious books? And that's the problem that they run into, is that they can't make sense. They can't make them work together. And also with the Muslims as well, who just basically reject evolution for the most part. They reject evolution. They surely can't reconcile the Quran with evolution. And so one of the most fundamental things is proving that not only is evolution consistent with religion, but detailing exactly how it's not only consistent, but that evolution makes perfect sense and it's something supported by the religious scriptures. And he does many things to show this, including giving these narrations from Adil Bayt, peace be upon them, and this group that was called the Nisnas in Arabic, that is a human-like creature that came before humans. And so here we have narrations from Adil Bayt, peace be upon him, where they speak about these Nisnas, these human-like creatures that were before humans, like Neanderthals, you could say, or Homo erectus, you could say, and the ones that came before them, and the ones that came before them, and the ones that came before them. And so we have evidence, evolutionary type passages from the Quran and from the narrations that not only don't disagree with evolution, but are 100% consistent with evolution in a document that's over 1,000 years old. And so this is one way to approach the question of evolution and creation and the origin of life, abiogenesis. And the Imam al-Islam also does a detailed passage on abiogenesis, or the origin of life, which is the first replicator. The simplest form of life that you can imagine would be something that can replicate itself and still evolve so that it can improve over time until it becomes a cell, a bacteria, a multicellular organism, life. And he goes through a detailed type of calculation to show what kind of odds there are of this forming. Not that he disagrees with it, not that he's saying that this chemical reaction or replicator didn't exist, but that the odds of that are important to know. And he also compares that with detailed explanations and quotes from somebody like Richard Dawkins, who, when it comes to trying to show how commonplace something can be, like hemoglobin or one of these complex chemicals, when evolution is involved, that he'll go to this elaborate type of calculation showing that, oh, it's actually very, very easy to occur. But when it comes to something like abiogenesis, which statistically is so completely improbable on a huge magnitude, an order of magnitude that's just practically impossible, he doesn't go into that type of explanation because he wants to de-emphasize how improbable something like that is, but emphasize how natural it is for evolution. But the problem is that abiogenesis is before evolution, and so you can't get this type of ease in a chemical evolving before evolution. That first replicator, and he goes into a detailed explanation, I hope everybody can read this to see that this detailed explanation of what it would take, the first chemical replicator that could spark life on Earth, and what Richard Dawkins says about this, and what biologists say about this, and showing that, and also giving Quran verses related to this that show the importance of correctly translated Quran verses that can be shown to be completely completely in line with abiogenesis and evolution. You can also go back to the beginning of the universe and the Big Bang, and because before, with evolution, religious people could say, well, sure, you can have evolution, but where did life come from? And then if you get past this abiogenesis, if you accept this incredible improbability of this first chemical replicator, then it takes you naturally to the beginning of the universe. And we have a caller.
Podcast. The Savior. Podcast. The Savior has arrived.